Well, thank you, Marion, for sharing us with that reading for today. We're in our series looking at Romans, at going through it a little bit by a little bit. And today we're jumping back into the second half of chapter one, and we're turning our attention to what may be conceived in our modern culture as rather challenging and controversial, especially in our culture. And I want to say this. Sometimes people use the Bible as a weapon to put other people down and to denigrate others. That's not what I want to do today. I want the Word of God to speak and help us understand. To also understand the context and reality of where Paul is writing. To also understand the context and reality of where we are as a world and a society. So as we look at these verses, we actually find what the Apostle Paul is doing is speaking with a really remarkable sense of clarity and courage, and talking about the reality of sin. And reality of the sin particularly evident to the Gentile world at that time. And we, you know, last week I was talking about how this letter to the Roman church is being addressed to both the Gentile and Jewish Christians that are in Rome. And today, this section that we're reading, we need to keep in mind this is specifically talking to those Gentile believers. And that is the clarity around that we need to bring with us for that. And these words, they can produce debate and discomfort in us, and they can produce, and they have produced debate and discomfort across churches for many a year as well. And they should still challenge us today, not just because of their content, but more really because of that it's a mirror that is held up against us. If we read these words, and instead of pointing the finger in somebody else, we actually look to ourselves, what do they say to us? As I said, you know, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, is not an isolated section. It is not a section that we just use for, you know, this one moment. It's an opening movement in Paul's, you know, argument, sweeping argument that actually goes all the way through chapter 2 and into chapter 3. We actually need to bring that together as one whole. And what Paul is doing here is he's turning attention to the sins of the Gentiles, and then he moves on to the sins of the Jews. And so he's not trying to pit one group against the other, not trying to make one better than the other or one worse than the other. Ultimately, what Paul is doing is his goal is to actually show that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And no one is exempt. Paul's diagnosis here is universal as we do this. We also need to remember the setting that this is written in. And life was what life was really like back in Paul's day. Rome was full of different beliefs, different idols, different ways of living that often pulled people away from God. But if we're honest, when we look around our world today and the lives that we have when we're here in Australia, it's actually not hard to spot the similarities, is there? You know, we live in a time where everyone seems to have their own truth. It's easy to chase after whatever feels good, and where it can be tough to work out what is right and what is wrong. Paul's world and our world are, you know, actually they might look different on the surface, but they're pretty similar when you get down to it. We have the same kind of struggles. We have the same kind of questions. And as we look at this passage, let's be real with ourselves and ask God to help us hear what he wants us to say, both the challenge that's there, but also the hope that's there. I just want to pray for a moment. Lord God, we hear your word. We hear your word spoken through Romans. And Lord, we just ask today that you will speak afresh and new into our lives. May it be a challenge for us. May it reflect that we are able to follow you with all our hearts, having faith in you, Jesus. That as we said last week, and Marion reminded us, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. We need the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. And that is why we come here and why we worship and why we hear from you. But Lord, convict us of the sins and the things that we have done wrong. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, what I want to do today is kind of give you nine things that flow through this little section of scripture. And I'm not going to try and do that whole preacher thing where there's only three. There's nine things I want, so that's three lots of three. So there's three sermons in here, but it's not going to be that long, so that's all right. They're going to be short, they're going to be quick. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to hone in on one verse only. I want us to look at the whole of this chunk of scripture. Because what Paul is trying to do, and I think he does it really quite clearly, and he does reference things that are difficult and complex for us in our world, but he's saying that each and every one of us, if we look at this, have all sinned and fallen short of glory of God. It's not about some people being worse than others. We all need grace. So without further ado, let me just step into the first point that Paul is making is that God has a sense of wrath and justice. God's wrath is not towards people, it's towards the sins that are there. And this isn't like a petty, selfish anger about things. This is a sense of deep, righteous anger at things that are happening in the world, the sins that are happening that are drawing people away from knowing God himself. They are the things that are drawing us out from that. If we were to equate it into a kind of a modern kind of way of looking at things, if we see somebody hurting a child, do we have a sense of, you know, anger and righteousness and going, that should be stopped? If you actually think that God here is looking down at the world and the sin that is happening in the world is drawing people away from actually knowing God, is that same sense of anger and righteousness going, actually, this needs to be stopped so that all the world may know God. All the world may have that sense of grace that is only given through Jesus. But, you know, because God is so loving and so just, he actually takes seriously the sin and the destructive nature that sin has. Because if God didn't care about sin, then there's no need for the gospel. There's no need for Jesus to actually come. Jesus is the reason we have this loving forgiveness. But sin is what is mattering here. And Paul is highlighting that God has a sense of wrath and justice that needs to be overcome. And we know that is overcome through Jesus Christ. So, first point. I said it was going to be quick. I didn't want to dwell on nine points for too long. The second point is this. So Paul's going, there's God's wrath, but we also need to realize that God has already given us a general revelation about himself. Paul is actually giving the argument here that everyone actually has the chance and should be aware that God is present. We see God's fingerprint in all of creation, in the beauty, in the order, and the complexity of the world. Now, I think I've told this story before, you know, that what I used to do before I was a preacher was I was a research scientist and genetic engineering kind of thing. And the more you delved into the complexity And the smaller you went and looked at how everything was so intricate and woven together, the more I got to the point of actually having to realize that God is involved in this. This is not just a chance. It's too complex. And so the more I delved into it, the more I realized God was there present in every step. So what Paul is actually saying here in this passage is he's actually saying that deep down everyone has a sense that God's presence is there. Everyone has a sense that of right and wrong because God has actually placed it on our hearts. The problem isn't a lack of evidence of God. It is actually that people often choose to ignore what is actually in front of them. I hate to say it, in our world today, we are really good at ignoring things that we don't want to see, really ignoring things that we don't want to know and don't want to hear. So God has given his general revelation of himself in all of the world. And so Paul's saying we should actually be able to know that God is present there. And then he moves on and he says, no one has actually an excuse for ignoring God. You know, there's no excuse for saying, I didn't know, because God has already placed it there for us to see. God has already given us everything enough to know that he is real. But instead of seeking him, people have gone and chosen their own way. And it's not about winning arguments. It's about whether we're willing to actually listen to what we already know deep down in ourselves, that God is present in our world and is guiding us. So you can kind of see what Paul's doing. He's going, there's the wrath of God and God's justice. There's God, he's saying, but God has already shown us that he's there and we have no excuse for this. But then he moves on and he says, but there's a problem. And the problem is idolatry. Instead of worshipping God, what people have always found is they put other things in his place. They put other things instead of God in his place. They've put statues, they've put careers, they've put money, their own opinion. Whatever it is that you place in front of God, that is idolatry. We make it an idol and we worship that. I've often said where you put your time and where you put your money is often the place that you are worshiping the most. And if we were to think about that for ourselves and going, where are we putting our time, where are we putting our money? What does that reflect upon ourselves and who we are? But when we actually try and reject God, we try and fill it with other things to fill that gap. And that is what was happening in Rome, that people were putting other things in there, other idols, and they were worshipping those things. And Paul is saying to the Roman church there, don't be led astray into worshipping those other idols. Worship God. You already know God. You already have the evidence for God. Worship God. We too have that same capability in ourselves here in Australia. We already have the evidence of who God is and what God is doing and what God has done. It's about whether we can worship him. And then it moves on. And the fifth point is this. And Paul uses this phrase, God gives people over. And it's actually a very interesting and important phrase because Paul repeats it a number of times. God gave them over. And it's like God actually saying here, if you really want your own way, you've got it. If you really want your own way, I'm not going to stop you. And this is the sobering reality for us. When people keep refusing God, he lets them. And he lets them experience the consequence of that. And that's what Paul is then elucidating when he starts talking about these lists of sins and things that are happening. God has let people over to go their own way and do their own things. God wants that personal close relationship with you. He wants you to know him personally. But if you want to ignore him, God actually respects that. But realize there's a consequence to that. Paul also says that basically twisted beliefs lead to twisted living. If we believe that, you know, our belief actually shapes our lives. The things that we believe shape the way that we live. The things that matter shape the way that we behave. And when we turn away from God, it actually messes with what we understand is right and wrong in our lives. Paul shows that idolatry leads to all kinds of brokenness. When we stop worshiping God and we worship other things, it leads to a brokenness in our world. It leads to a brokenness in us. When we stop believing in God's truth, then anything goes. And Paul says there, we actually reap what we sow. That's the principle at work that Paul is talking about. Our choices have consequences. Sin leads to pain, emptiness, and eventually judgment. God sets things up so that whenever we turn away from him, we know that it never really works. There's a longing for each and every one of us to come back closer to God. We want to be closer to our Lord and Saviour. Now, final 2 points I want to make is that what Paul does is he goes, there's this list of idolatry things that are happening. Worship of idols and other practices that are revolving around those worship of idols. But there's also a range of other sins that are both big and small, public and private, that if you look at it, they continue to flow out as well. The longer that we go on our own way, the more that we lose our way with God. And the more we end up hurting ourselves and hurting others by doing those things that are against what God has us. And the final thing that I want to leave you with is this, that sin basically loves company. What Paul is basically saying here is that those people who are doing this are encouraging others to follow them, to do the same thing for you. You know, Glenda's little analogy here that we had this morning with the kids talk was really interesting because it was about the temptation to follow. The whole thing about sin is about the temptation to follow in that behavior, in that path of behavior. What Paul is basically saying here is that the people are doing the wrong thing. They're sinning against God, but the worst thing is they're encouraging others to do that as well, to join in. And we actually see today that there's social pressure, there's media pressure, there's culture that says, go and go your own way, go and do these things, let go of what God has decreed for your lives and do your own stuff. Culture, unfortunately, celebrates things that God says are harmful for you. And so we should be coming back towards our God, because the thing is, if you start going down that road, you're more likely to drag others down that road with you. And we don't want to be following down that road that leads to death and absence. So if we stopped here, it would be pretty grim, wouldn't it? And the thing is that we're taking this little chunk, we're taking a little tour through Romans, and we're looking at it section by section. And you know, if I was thinking about how I would do a 4-week talk on Romans, I wouldn't pick this passage. But we're not going to do a 4-week tour of Romans. We're going to look at it a little bit more in depth. And the Word of God's got something for us each and all times. So I said it would be pretty grim if we stopped here, but Paul doesn't stop there. He keeps going. And yes, he starts talking about the judgment of sin and he starts talking about Jews and the law, but then he moves on. So he talks about the Gentiles here, and that's what we've been looking at. And then he's going to move on and look a bit more in depth. But then when we get to chapter 3, he has this wonderful section for us. And he's going, everybody falls short. All of us fall short. But the good news is that we have Jesus Christ that's forgiven us, that's drawn us close. There's hope, a new life found in Jesus. And let's be honest, and this is what this passage is saying, you know, if we're honest and we let this passage be a mirror for our lives and go, what are the things that we have made idols for ourselves? What are the things that we have drawn ourselves away from? What are the things that we've fallen short of God's glory in our own lives? Because we all fall short. Let us remember that God's grace is bigger than everything that we have ever done. God's grace is bigger than our sins, bigger than our shortfalls. And that's the heart of the gospel. Is God wants you to be reconciled and drawn back. He wants you to have life and life everlasting and to the full. It's the same hope that Paul was talking to the Roman church. It's the same hope that we hear in Australia and around the world, that in Jesus we have life and joy and hope and we have a future. Let me just pray. Oh Lord God, we just pray today and ask that as we reflect on our lives, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us and convicts us of things that we are going astray, things that we are making idols in our own life, things that we are thinking that are more important than you. Talk to us today. Help us to see that in our lives. Help us not to downplay them, but help us to seek the healer. Help us to seek the one that saves. Help us to come closer to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in our lives. Lord, I just pray this in your holy name. Amen.